What I want to do this morning is to focus in on one particular verse, because I want to speak about Christ. At the end of the day, the Gospel of Luke is about Christ. And we as a local church, we're about Christ. And my preaching, I want my preaching to be centered upon Christ. So what I want to do is look particularly at chapter 6 and verse 5, where Jesus says to them, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. And I want to look at this phrase, Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath. And I want us to see what this means. What does Jesus mean when he says he is Lord of the Sabbath? Now, there are three things that I want to bring out for you from this passage. And the first is this, that Jesus actually releases us from the wrong use of the Sabbath. You may find that a strange thing for me to say, but there's absolutely no question that this is one of the great teachings of this passage, that the Lord Jesus, when he speaks about the Sabbath, he's actually speaking about their wrong use of the Sabbath and how he releases people from the wrong use of it. What do I mean by this? Well, if you read your history books, you will find that the Jewish people invented hundreds of laws to add to the law that God had given them through Moses. I'm sure you've heard this before. There's something like 600 laws, statutes, that the Jewish people invented. And they added these things to the law that God had given them. And the Sabbath in particular was one of these laws that the Jews added huge number of statutes to it. We may find some of them rather amusing, rather puzzling. Let me just give you a few examples. I'm sure you're aware of this. So for example, you were only allowed to travel a certain distance on the Sabbath. If you went beyond that, you have broken the law, you have sinned. Now if you look very carefully at Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, where the law of Moses is given, there is nothing about what distance you should walk. But you see, these were additions that they had put. Let me give you an amusing illustration. Imagine that you have a chicken. That chicken lays an egg on the Sabbath. Should you eat it? Did you know there were laws concerning should you eat an egg that was laid on the Sabbath? And interestingly, the law was this, that if you kept the chicken for the purpose of eggs, in other words, you kept the chicken so that it would give you eggs, then you must not eat the egg that it laid on the Sabbath, because it was doing its usual work. Its work was to lay eggs for you. It was working on the Sabbath. You mustn't eat that egg. However, if you kept that chicken because you were fattening it up for some special occasion, and the laying of eggs was just a byproduct, then you were allowed to eat the egg. Now, I know that sounds amusing, but it's an illustration of how all these laws were invented. Now, the Bible, particularly the New Testament, speaks much about the law. And I would encourage you particularly to read Paul's writings, because Paul, in particular, takes up this whole issue of the Christian and the law. In particular, Romans chapter 6, chapter 7, those two chapters are Paul's teachings on the law and the place of the law in the life of the Christian. And Paul basically says this. He says the law is good. Well, of course it's good. It has come from God. And the law is an expression of the character of God. God is holy. So the law is holy. But Paul goes on to say in Romans, there is a problem, and the problem is with us. We have sin, and because we have sin in us, sin is indwelling us, the law has a tendency to imprison us. The law has a tendency to enslave us. because of our wrong use of it. There's nothing wrong with the law. It's our use of the law. And it is things like that. You know, when people start making a whole list of things, what am I allowed to do on the Sabbath? What am I not allowed to do on the Sabbath? Or to take it a bit wider, what am I allowed to drink? What am I allowed to eat? With whom am I allowed to meet? And what clothes am I allowed to wear? And so on. If we start making a large number of laws, before we know where we are, we find that those laws are ruling our lives. Those laws are the ones that are in charge of our lives. Those laws govern how we live our lives. And we've taken our eyes off the Lord. And we put our eyes on the law. So we wake up in the morning and we say, now, what must I do today? Oh yes, I must do this, and I must do this, and I must do this. And we have a kind of a set of rules and laws that we have. And we say, well, I must do all of this because I'm a Christian, and Christians are required to do these things. You see, we're not referring to the Lord, and we're not referring to His liberty that He has given to us, and worship to Him, and love to Him. The laws have taken that place. This is what the Jews found. I mean, we have a couple of illustrations in this passage, and I'll speak more about those in a minute. But the disciples were hungry, and they were walking through these grain fields, and they plucked some of the heads of grains and rubbed them in their hands. And immediately the Pharisees said, why are you doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath? There is a law, and we are governed by that law. That law regulates our lives and rules our lives, and you are breaking that law. And Jesus refers them to an incident in the Old Testament. He takes them back to David, the great king of Israel, the giant of the Old Testament. And Jesus says, do you remember the time when David and his men turned up at the place where the priests were, where the tabernacle was? And they were hungry because they were on the run from Absalom. Absalom had taken over power, and David and his men were on the run. And he said, do you remember how David and his men went to the priests at Nob? And they said, do you have any food? My men and I are hungry. And the priest said, the only bread we have is the bread of the presence. Now there were laws governing the bread of the presence that it had to be offered daily, and only the priests could eat it. But David and his men ate it. And it was done to show that human life is more important than laws that have been created, even the laws that God have given. I appreciate we have to be very careful about this. But that is what Jesus is teaching here, isn't he? He's saying, you can't say to men, you must starve, because we've only got the bread of presence. They ate the bread of presence. And Jesus says, human life is more important. My disciples were hungry. And so they plucked some grain and ate it on the Sabbath. And it is because the law does not rule our lives. It is an issue that we have to be very, very careful about. Because we do have sin in us. And sin does have certain tendencies. And particularly the use of the law, the use of rules, the use of regulations. You know, we can have rules and regulations which are very good. We can say that there is a rule that we must daily read our Bibles and pray. And I would say this to everybody. Please make sure you daily read your Bible and you pray. But if it just becomes a law, it just becomes a rule. So you wake up in the morning and you say, well, of course I must do this. And you just read some verses. You're not thinking about the verses you're reading. All you're doing is fulfilling a rule that you have made so that you can satisfy yourself, I've done that. And we say a few minutes of prayer, but it's not real prayer. We're just doing it because the rule is there. Do you see what's happened? How the rules, the laws have taken over. And Jesus in this passage teaches us that we are not enslaved by these rules. So that's the first thing that we see in this passage, that the Lord of the Sabbath releases us from the wrong use of the law. Of the Sabbath. And Jesus, the same passage in Mark's Gospel, we have an addition there where Jesus says, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Man is not a servant of the Sabbath. Man has not been created for the benefit of the Sabbath. Man is not there to be under the Sabbath. The Sabbath was created for man. Man is there to use the Sabbath. The Sabbath is there to give man rest. It is there for him and for his benefit. So that's the first thing that the Lord Jesus teaches in this passage. The second thing that the Lord Jesus teaches in this passage is the correct use of the Sabbath. I've already made reference to it, but there is a correct use of the Sabbath. What should you do on Sunday? How should you use Sunday? Well, there are principles in the Bible, and it's important we take hold of those principles and use them correctly. Do you notice in verse 6, that on another Sabbath, he entered the synagogue? Because that was Jesus' habit. When the Sabbath came, the Lord Jesus went to the synagogue. He met with God's people. And there in the synagogue, they sang praises to God. They heard teaching from God's word. They brought worship to God. Because this is the correct use of the Sabbath. It is the Lord's day. We read from Genesis chapter 2 that God created the Sabbath and God blessed the Sabbath and God called it holy. And it is the day of rest. We mustn't see it as something that's imposed upon us. Praise God for a day of rest. Don't you give thanks to God when Sunday comes and you say, I can lay down my tools, I can lay down my work, and today I can rest. And even more importantly, to follow the example of Christ. Today, I can meet with God's people. And today, I can reflect on the week since last Sunday. And how on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, God has been good to me. And I can reflect back on a week when God's grace has been upon me. And God's goodness has been showered upon me. And every day, God has watched over me and God has blessed me. I can look back over the last 7 days and I can think of the fact that in this country, we have a peaceful life. We're under no harassment. We don't have civil war. We're not at war with another country. We don't have bombs dropping on us. We're not in Ukraine. We're not in the Middle East. These things aren't happening. God has granted us everything. We can reflect on the fact that all our physical needs are being met. We don't go to the shops and find the shelves empty. We don't turn on the gas cooker and find there is no gas. Do you know there are people all over the world today with no gas because of the events in the Middle East? But God has been good to us. And so the Sunday is this opportunity to gather with God's people and to say, I am going to give thanks to God for His goodness. Because He has watched over me through this week and He has blessed me. Now I've only spoken about our physical blessings, the blessing that He has poured out upon us in our physical lives. But think about our spiritual blessings. Think about the fact that through this week, the Lord Jesus Christ has been your Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ, seated at the right hand of the Father, has been your great High Priest. Think about the fact that your Father in heaven, through this week, has loved you. Think of the fact that through this week, Christ has watched over you in everything that you have done. Whatever situation you've been in, the Lord Jesus has been with you. And the Lord Jesus has supported you and watched over you and strengthened you and encouraged you. I mean, you may not even have been aware of His presence, but His presence has been with you. You may not even have been aware of His protection upon you, but He has protected you. And if His protection hadn't been upon you, perhaps on the motorway or on one of our roads, you might have had a terrible accident. But He has arranged everything so that He watches over us. And the blessings of God in salvation, the forgiveness of our sins. You haven't this week labored under a conscience which constantly tells you, you're a sinner, you're a sinner. You haven't labored under that conscience. Because Christ has sprinkled your conscience with His blood. You haven't through this week been under the condemnation of God. You haven't this week been thinking about hell and how when you die, you're going to face an uncertain judgment. You haven't had those thoughts. But you've gone through this week in the knowledge that the Lord Jesus Christ has died for you. You've gone through this week with the knowledge that you have no sins that are left outstanding because Christ has cleared them all. You've gone through this week in the knowledge that you are acceptable to God because Christ has given you His righteousness. His obedience has been imputed to you. His righteousness has been put to your account. And your Father in heaven looks at you through the lens of Christ. And your Father in heaven loves you just as much as He loves Christ because Christ has saved you. We go through this week with all these blessings, the physical blessings, the spiritual blessings, all of them given to us by God in Christ. And Sunday comes. And do you not wake up on Sunday morning and you think, God has been so good to me this week. I've enjoyed so many blessings from the Lord this week. I must go to be with God's people. How can I withhold my presence and my worship of God? How can I stay at home and do some other things? Surely I must go to the church and I must join with God's people and I must sing praises to His name and I must offer prayers of thanksgiving to Him and I must listen to His word so that I'm equipped for life in the coming week. This is the correct use of the Lord's Day. The Lord Jesus went to the synagogue and He set an example for us. But the Lord Jesus did more than go to the synagogue because we read in this passage, in the second event, we had got the two events, the men in the grain fields and then the synagogue. And we saw that when He went to the synagogue, there was a man with a withered hand. And they were looking there to see whether He would heal him. Because they thought, well, if He heals him, we can accuse him. Do you see what it says in verse 7? The scribes and the Pharisees watched him to see whether he would heal on the Sabbath so that they might find a reason to accuse him. Can you imagine this? They obviously had a law, you are not allowed to heal on the Sabbath. But what sort of law is this? You're not allowed to heal on the Sabbath? But He knew their thoughts. And He said to the man with the withered hand, come and stand here. And he rose and stood there. And Jesus said to them, I ask you, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to destroy him? And after looking around at them all, He said to him, stretch out your hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored. What is the correct use of the Lord's Day? It is to do good to your fellow men. It is to do good to those around you who are in need. Yes, we must come to church to worship God. Put that down as a top priority. I must give thanks to God for His goodness and grace. But when you come to church, always be mindful of others around you. There are those around you today who've had a terrible week. They've struggled with all manner of trials and anxieties and difficulties. There are those around you today who have family issues, and those family issues bear upon them and make life difficult. You know how lovely it is when somebody comes to you and sits down with you and encourages you, speaks words that are encouraging, speaks gentle words from the scriptures, and perhaps prays with you so that we are doing good to one another. You look around you and say, is there somebody in need today? And can I do something to help people? They had these rules that bound them. They had rules that restricted them from even doing good. And Jesus puts this right by doing good and saying, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm? Well, the answer is obvious. It is lawful to do good. So friends, the Lord Jesus teaches us the right use of the Lord's Day. We don't become bound by rules and regulations. We don't become enslaved to rules. But we go to church joyfully to give thanks to God. and we go to church resolved to do good to our fellow men. And then a third thing, now this is not from this passage directly, but this is a biblical principle, a third thing that the Bible teaches us, and it is this, that the Lord Jesus fulfills the Sabbath. So he releases us from the wrong use of the Sabbath, he teaches us the correct use of the Sabbath, and he fulfills the Sabbath. What do I mean by that? Well, I'm referring to these verses in the letter to the Hebrews. And it says there remains a Sabbath day's rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. The writer to the Hebrews is pointing to heaven. The writer to the Hebrews is writing to people who were under persecution and were discouraged. And he's speaking to them about Christ and the great works of Christ and the great things that Christ has done for them. And he's writing about heaven in this passage in chapter 4. And he says to them, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Sunday, in a sense, is a picture of heaven. It's a type of heaven. Because what we do on Sunday is what we will be doing in heaven. What do we do on Sunday? We gather as God's people. What is heaven? Heaven is the gathering of God's people. The Apostle John in Revelation 7 looks at heaven and he says, I saw this vast, innumerable company of people from every tongue, every tribe, every nation singing praises to God. And that's what we do on Sunday. This is why it's so important to come to church on Sunday. In a sense, it's preparation for heaven. We're joining with the company in heaven in the worship of God. And Sunday is a day when we come and meet with God's people and we rejoice in the fellowship of God's people and we rejoice in the fellowship of God. This is heaven. And the writer to the Hebrews says, there remains this Sabbath rest for God's people. For whoever has entered God's rest, that means God's salvation, has rested from his works. By that he means we don't work for our salvation. We don't keep rules and regulations in order to win our salvation. When Jesus said, come to me all who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. He was saying, you won't be able to earn heaven by your own works. You can do your very best to keep the law. You will fail. You can make all sorts of rules and regulations and try and keep them. You will fail. They will enslave you. Your works will not grant you a place in heaven. A Sabbath rest cannot be earned by your works. So God has called you to rest from your works by putting your faith in Christ, trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. Rest from your works by trusting in Christ. Lean upon him. Trust in him and he will save you. His works are what count. His salvation is our great gift that he has graciously given to us. And so Sunday, in a sense, points to that final eternal rest in heaven. That's why it's such a lovely thing to gather together. Because it raises our expectations. It sharpens our eternal hope. We're heading for heaven. Maybe through the week we've had all manner of things to do. And so we're so much focused on the things of this world. There's nothing wrong in that. But we're so much focused on the things of this world that we almost forget there is one day a rest coming for us. And then Sunday comes and we gather as God's people and we take a rest from all our labors and we say to ourselves there is an eternal rest coming. And heaven is my home, and I'm headed for heaven because Christ, my Savior, has died for me. So Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath, he releases us from the wrong use of the Sabbath. He teaches us the correct use of the Sabbath, worship of God, doing good to each other. And he fulfills the Sabbath by reminding us that there is this eternal rest coming. Well, praise God for the works of our Lord Jesus Christ.